Good morning. Good morning, people who are gathered here, and good morning to people who are watching online. If you don't know me, my name is Nathan Farr. I am the communications administrator here at Renovation Church, which means I send out emails, I help plan things, and I'm currently going through a developmental process with our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So part of that process is, again, I get to preach every once in a while. It's a good practice for me. As I dig into the Word and learn how to relay information and inspiration to you. And so our normal pattern here at Renovation is we open the Bible and we study Scripture to see what God wants to reveal to us. And so if you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll give you a little bit of time to do that. If you don't have a Bible, in the bulletin, we have printed out the main parts of the passage that I want to talk about today. I will be talking about other passages, but I'll let you know what those references are. If you don't have a bulletin, we can get you one, or you can step out into the hallway and there should be some by the front doors. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to learn from you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me and you would open our ears to hear what you have to say today. We bless you, Father. You're a good Father. May you reveal your word to us. Your word is living and active. So we ask for this in your name. Amen. God has given you spiritual gifts. Use them wisely. I want you to think about the people sitting around you in your pews that you know are following Christ. And I want you to lean into a question this morning and also contemplate it during this next week. That question is this: how can I use the spiritual gifts that God has given me to help the body of Christ grow? Now I want you to look around you and realize this may be awkward for some of you, especially for visitors, but just take a look around you. I'm not going to ask you to say anything or greet anybody, so let's just relax a little bit. Do you see friends? Do you see people that you do not know well? Do you see other followers of Christ? If you see other followers of Christ, then you are looking at the body of Christ. So keep this question in mind. How can I use the spiritual gifts that God has given me to help the body of Christ grow? I'm also going to ask you to perform a little bit of a mental exercise with me this morning. Here's what I would like for us to do. You are now a farmer or a worker in a field. So put on that little hat. You're a farmer. On this farm, in the fields, are people that you know who are in the process of growing and flourishing. Yes, these particular fields are filled with people who follow Christ. And so this is a Bible-believing, disciple-making farm that you are working on. You can also call it a church. So you're a farmer. Here's a couple of things that I know about farmers. They help each other out. They view themselves as part of a greater community. They are patient. They are smart. They have to rely on God's provision. Because without God's provision, without rain and sun and good soil, crops will not grow. Farmers often acquire wisdom. They work hard. They have a plan each year. Farmers use fertilizer, and farmers gather a harvest. You know, it's quite amazing to me how crops grow. They take a lot of effort and care to grow in a healthy way and produce fruit or a harvest. And yet at the same time, a lot of it is out of the farmer's control. Rain, sunshine, wind, and hail are out of a farmer's control. Pests are out of a farmer's control. Disease is out of a farmer's control. Equipment breaking is out of a farmer's control. One part that farmers can control to a point is that of the use of fertilizer. Fertilizer helps things grow. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a lesson. Some of you may remember this from school. But there are two kinds of fertilizer, organic and inorganic. Organic fertilizers are made from natural materials like manure, compost, peat moss. They're better for the soil long term, but they are also slower acting and may cost more. Organic fertilizers gradually release nutrients as they decompose. Inorganic fertilizers, these are things like synthesized chemicals like nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that provide rapid nutrient intake. They're cheaper than organic fertilizers, but they can also burn plants more easily. What does nitrogen do? Nitrogen is required for the formation of chlorophyll. It also contributes to the development of leaves and overall crop growth. Phosphorus, that promotes the development of roots, buds, flowers, and seeds, and it helps plants to survive extremely cold winters and general environmental stress. Potassium, this improves metabolism and moisture retention. It increases resistance to pathogens. So there are different kinds of fertilizer used for different needs that cause things to grow in different ways. So let's think a little bit big picture here. Why is fertilizer used? It's used to enhance the natural fertility of the soil or replace chemical elements that have been taken from the soil by previous crops. Apply this concept to the fields that I'm asking you to consider, the church that you belong to, and the wider concept of the church body around the world. Fertilizer makes things grow, and spiritual gifts are fertilizer. Let's zoom out really quickly for a quick reminder of where we are. The last 6 weeks we've been spent talking about how we individually are being equipped for the harvest. And so we've been talking about hospitable conversations. These are conversations with the people in your circle of influence who you have been building a relationship with. And hospitable conversations consider the other person's agenda, they consider your own agenda, and you have to learn to ask really good questions to have a fruitful conversation with people, to have deep, fruitful conversations. So in some ways, having hospitable conversations with other people is a bit like testing the soil. Remember, you're in a field and you're a farmer now. So farmers test the soil to know what the pH is like and to know what nutrients and minerals are needed. So when you have hospitable conversations, even with Christ followers, you are seeing where people are in life. You are testing to see if their soil is too acidic. And you're seeing what nutrients need to be placed back in their soil. So that's what we've been talking about for the past few weeks, hospitable conversations, how we're being individually equipped. We're starting a new series this Sunday called Eyes on the Harvest. And so this series is how we as a church are being equipped for the harvest. So we've gone from an individual focus to more of a church-wide focus. Your spiritual gifts are vital for the harvest. If you're not already there, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for our main passage. Like I said before, I'm also going to be pulling in different passages from Scripture to see what Scripture has to say about spiritual gifts. Before we talk about that, about using our spiritual gifts, I want to set up a little bit of framework. Because I think it's important that we have a better understanding and also that so we can filter through that framework. The first framework that I want us to understand is in regards to where spiritual gifts come from and our response to those spiritual gifts. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, let's read it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All right. Did you read what I just read? Like, this passage starts out great for a sermon, right? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be informed. Thanks, Paul. I don't want to be misinformed. I want to be informed, right? And I think you probably want to be informed about it too. But there seems to be a hard right turn in this passage. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. And he goes on to talk about, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. That doesn't really seem to fit with spiritual gifts, right? We talk about spiritual gifts, I want you to be informed. Hey, let's talk about Jesus is accursed and Jesus is Lord. Here's what's going on. You need to consider the source. Spiritual gifts from God are supernatural in nature. So we have to consider the supernatural. What Paul is talking about here are manifestations. In Corinth, the people that he's writing to, in 1 Corinthians, the people who are now following Jesus used to follow idols and demonic forces. And so I think the people were much more attuned to spiritual forces and spiritual manifestations in those days. And so they witnessed and they heard things that we are not used to witnessing and hearing here in our American cultural context. What Paul is saying here is that if there's a manifestation where someone says Jesus is accursed, then that manifestation is not of the Spirit of God. It's a demonic spirit that is saying that, so just be aware of that. Paul has some other things to say, too, in this passage that I think are important. Because if you take a look at the passage, there are varieties of gifts. In verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts. The root word for gifts is, it's translated as grace. There are varieties of service. That root word there is translated as ministry or deaconing. There are varieties of activities. The root word there is translated as an operation, working, or in an effect. So these all come from the same source, God, who empowers them in all. So consider the source. Here's the good news for Christ followers. God gives spiritual gifts to all who follow him. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, then you have spiritual gifts. Look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So God has given you gifts. He has empowered you, and it is a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's good news. That's great news. But now when you hear, man, God has given everyone who follows him spiritual gifts. Maybe there's some other questions that are starting to pop up in your mind. If God has given me gifts, then what are they? How many do I have? How are they showing up in my life? How are they used for the common good? Those questions are important and they're good. I want you to hold on to those questions because I want us to address something else first. How do we respond to receiving gifts? Let's look at the next set of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 11. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So this is not an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. There are more than what is listed here. However, I think the first thing that needs to happen when we realize we have been given spiritual gifts is being grateful. Have you thanked God for the spiritual gifts that he has given you? Do you know what spiritual gifts you have? One of the dangers, I think, when we start to realize, okay, God has given us these spiritual gifts, I think one of the dangers is we start to compare. We start to compare. We look at other people, how they're using spiritual gifts, and we start to compare. And we get jealous. And so sometimes we say, why does so-and-so get the gift of miracles? Man, that'd be a pretty cool gift to have, right? Just do a miracle. Why does that person get the gift of healing? Man, I have some friends in my life who need healing. Why didn't I get that gift? Why does this person get the gift of administration? I thought I was pretty good at it, but they're better. What good is the ability to distinguish between spirits these days? Why do we need that gift? Why don't I speak in tongues? Why don't I see anyone interpreting tongues? And so if you feel that sense of envy or that jealousness rising up in you, can you and I take a moment to pause and remind ourselves that number one, it is God who gives gifts, and he will give whatever gifts he wants to whomever he wants. He is God, and he is a good father. So if we need to, then let's reframe our thoughts about what spiritual gifts we may or may not have. Can we think about it in this way? I've been given gifts by an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God who is full of love. Like, seriously, can I acknowledge that God might just know what he's doing? And if he has given me a gift, even if it is a gift that I do not understand or I'm not currently aware of, that he has a reason for doing so, and that those gifts have the potential to greatly impact other people. Besides the fact that now you and I get to live in a very natural world, and we get to live and operate through the power of the Holy Spirit using supernatural gifts in a natural world. Like, that's pretty cool. That's amazing. So that's the first framework that I want us to filter our view of spiritual gifts through. Here's the second framework that I want us to consider. You and I are all part of the body of Christ. This is an important framework to understand. We are all members of the body of Christ and yet are one body. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So this is the start of a section of scripture where Paul describes the relationship that the body has with itself and with Christ. I don't think we have time to read through all of it right now, but I encourage you to read through it when you do have some time. Because Paul makes the point in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31, that each individual member of the body of Christ is essential to the unity of the body of and for the body to operate as God has designed it to. There are many parts of the body and a great variety of parts. So if all the parts were a thumb, then the body of Christ wouldn't be very useful, would it? You can't do much with just a thumb. There's a quote I'd like to read for you. Watchman Nee, who is a prominent Chinese church leader and Christian teacher, he put it this way. The church is composed of that which is out of Christ. Man's talent, ability, thought, strength, and all that he has are outside the church. Everything that comes from the natural life is outside the church, and anything that is brought into the church of the natural life will only result in a tearing down, not a building up. Only that which comes out of Christ is in the church. Eve was not made from clay, but from Adam, the one who typified Christ. The preciousness is that God took a rib from Adam and made Eve. Only that which came out from Adam, not from clay, can be called Eve. And only that which comes from Christ can be called the church. Whatever is not from Christ has nothing to do with the church. So you are a member of the body of Christ, and God has placed you as a member in the exact place that you need to be, with the very functions needed in that place. So it's no longer about individual you or individual me. It is rather about Christ in us that makes up Christ's body. It is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in you. The body of Christ is designed to reflect the variety and unity that is found in God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So as you use spiritual gifts and as you work together in unity, continue to keep this idea. Unity in the body of Christ displays the unity of a triune God to the world. In other words, be the image of God to the world. So once we understand these two frameworks, that everyone who follows Christ is given spiritual gifts, and that we all are the body of Christ, then we can move towards the question of, what do we do with these gifts? Consider what Peter writes here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read it here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are commanded to use the gift that each of us has been given. These are action words in this passage of Scripture. Keep loving, show hospitality, use it, serve one another, speak, serve. Jesus became flesh. It's the most hospitable act that he could do for us. We are the body of Christ, the incarnational hospitality of God to the world. I also want you to note again, what's the source that you see in verses 10 through 11? God's varied grace, not our grace. Oracles of God, not our truth. Strength that God supplies, not our own strength. So I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. God has given you spiritual gifts. Use them wisely. Here's another biblical principle that is proved out across Scripture. God gives blessings so that you can bless others. He said this to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." You'll find that principle all throughout Scripture. So when you think of using your spiritual gifts, think of your spiritual gifts in a way where you are giving out what God has given to you. Who is the source? God is the source of the spiritual gift. So the gift is not for your own gain. The gift is not for your own pride. The gift is not for your own development. The gift is for the edification of others and to build up the body of Christ. So it's not a matter then of simply being open to using spiritual gifts or praying about whether or not to use those spiritual gifts. The command given in Scripture is to use your gifts. Now, when I talk about spiritual gifts, I realize that sometimes fear can arise in some people. So let's address that. I think two of the reasons why people can fear spiritual gifts. One, spiritual gifts have been used in the wrong way. Two, spiritual gifts can make us uneasy. So I realize that yes, spiritual gifts have been misused, they've been abused, or they've been not used at all. I realize that the manifestation of Holy Spirit as God empowers us to use our gifts can at times make us uncomfortable and uneasy. So some examples. Does it make you uneasy to think about someone speaking in tongues? Does it make you uneasy to think about someone interpreting tongues? Does it make you uneasy to think about someone prophesying? Does it make you uneasy to think about someone discerning between spirits? We read about these kinds of spiritual gifts earlier. And so then we have to ask ourselves, why do these gifts make me uneasy? What's underneath that uneasiness? Is it because we've seen the abuse of spiritual gifts? The proper response to misuse is not disuse, but wise and proper use. The proper response to misuse is not to not use them. The proper response is wise and proper use. And so I didn't come up with that saying, but it still holds true. We cannot afford to stop using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. If I stop using the spiritual gifts that God has given me, then there's two things that happen. One, I am disobedient because God has told me to use my gifts. The second thing, the body of Christ is then not built up into maturity. Can I add here that too often we in the American church, we rely too much on our own strength. And so I have to ask myself, when was the last time that I set out to do something that was beyond my own strength? When was the last time that you really, really had to rely on God to supply what was needed? So can I encourage us to start thinking outside the box? Can I encourage us to ask God what he wants to accomplish through our spiritual gifts that is beyond our natural ability? We must learn to recognize spiritual gifts when and where they occur, and we need to recognize when the Spirit is at work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good." So don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the manifestations of the Spirit. It's good to test things, but don't quench that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. All right, so now I'm sure that you've been all waiting for me to give you an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, how to recognize what spiritual gifts you personally have, and how to use those spiritual gifts, all nicely packaged in a three-step plan, right? I'm not going to do that. I know that it would be much easier to hand out, you know, one of those spiritual gifts tests, have everyone take it, and then we calculate the results and see what the test says. It would be much easier to know after a 15-minute test what my top three spiritual gifts are. In a culture where we like to have everything at our fingertips, I want to propose something that's a little bit countercultural. Because as I study scripture and as I study biblical principles, there's a huge principle that sticks out to me. God is interested in relationship. Why would it be any different with spiritual gifts? Now, I'm not knocking the spiritual tests. Those have value. Those are still applicable. But here's my proposal for you. If you want to know what your spiritual gifts are, you need to discover them in relationship with God and in relationship with others. This is a slower, longer process, but I think it is a vital process for the body of Christ to grow and mature. What do I mean by this? Let me drill down a little bit deeper. This requires a couple of things. Number one, you spend time with Jesus. This needs to be a non-negotiable in your life. Here's an evaluatory question to help you understand where you are in terms of spending time with Jesus. What are the spiritual rhythms that you have on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis? Is there something that you are doing to spend time with Jesus on a daily basis? Is there something you're doing to spend time with Jesus on a weekly basis? Is there something you're doing to spend time with Jesus on a monthly basis and on a yearly basis? Number two, live life with each other. So meet regularly with other individuals from the body of Christ. Be discipled and disciple others. Serve each other. Take note of what you're naturally good at or how God seems to consistently work in and through you. Then ask others, including the elders of this church, what they see in you as spiritual gifts. Here's my point. Gifts are meant to be discovered in relationship. Since gifts are meant to be discovered and utilized in relationship, I'd like for us to return to our farmer mindset and think about how to use our spiritual gifts as fertilizer. So how is fertilizer applied as a farmer? Fertilizers can be applied in different ways. Directly, which is sprayed directly on crops or applied to the soil. Indirectly, which is used to improve soil properties like lime and gypsum. Side dressing, which is applied in furrows or trenches alongside developing plants. And controlled release, gradually release nutrients over time. So let's take this example of how fertilizer is used and let's apply it in the context of spiritual gifts. Now, I'm not prescribing anything for you. I'm more hypothesizing, giving you some examples. But what if we thought about applying our spiritual gifts in these different ways? Direct fertilization, which is, again, sprayed directly on crops or applied to the soil. So what if a direct application of a spiritual gift would be hospitality in someone's life? What if you used your gift of hospitality to welcome in an elderly person or a young person who is lonely, or a young married couple who needs mentors, or what if you opened your home on a regular basis, invited others in, and also invited one of your friends over who has the gift of teaching, and together you built up the body of Christ in a very direct way? What about indirect fertilization used to improve soil properties like lime and gypsum? What if you have the gift of wisdom, and so you are able to indirectly improve the soil in the church so that the church body grows in maturity? What if you are able to make decisions using a spiritual gift of leadership that goes beyond a natural ability? What if you have the gift of faith, and that gift of faith that you use by the power of the Spirit impacts the whole body of Christ? Side dressing fertilization, applied in furrows or trenches alongside developing plants. What if you used your gift of helps or service to come alongside people and walk with them through life? What if you have a neighbor who has a deck that needs to be rebuilt? And you know that Bartholomew, the guy who sits in the pew a couple of rows away from you, has a gift of helps or service and knows how to build a deck. What if you invite Bartholomew over with the permission of your neighbor and you all get a deck built together? What if you use your spiritual gift of giving to be generous and to supply each other's needs? What if you used your gift of mercy to display to the body of Christ what God has done for us? Last one, controlled release fertilization, gradually release nutrients over time. What if you used your spiritual gift of exhortation over time to help build up individual members of the body of Christ who have been beaten down by past history, life, decisions they have made, and spiritual warfare? What if you used your spiritual gift of leadership over time to direct people towards God? What if you were able to use that gift to discern when programs needed to start or stop? Are you getting the picture here? What would it look like if we allowed God to empower us more to use our spiritual gifts? I beg of you, do not let your gifts remain latent. Discover them and develop them. There's this example in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the example, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Four times in these few verses are words that deal with teaching or speech. And so he's telling Timothy to practice these things, immerse himself in them, so that all may see his progress. Don't neglect the gift, but develop it. So once you have identified spiritual gifts that God has given you, and you've started to use them, don't stop there. You need to keep practicing them. Learn all that you can about them. Lean into the gift. That was 1 Timothy, the example that I just gave. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, he writes, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Have you ever fanned something into flame? There's the act of getting the spark going in some kindling, then waving something in front of that small flame, giving it extra oxygen and power, and suddenly, whoosh, the flame gets much bigger. Fan into flame the gift of God which you have been given. Give it oxygen. Ask for the breath of Holy Spirit to bring it to life. Ask Holy Spirit to teach you, and ask elders in the church to equip you. As we talk about developing spiritual gifts, I want to pivot a little bit here and talk more specifically to elders and leaders in the church. The rest of you, you still got to pay attention. So elders and leaders in the church, you have a direct role in all of this. There are two things I want to encourage you in. Number one, I want to encourage you in the recognition of spiritual gifts and blessing of those spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. That's one of the roles that's in Scripture. Number two, the equipping of the body of Christ. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there's a responsibility that is laid out in this section of Scripture. As an elder and as a leader in the church body, it is one of your responsibilities to equip the members of the body for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. That job does not stop until we have all matured to the full stature of Christ. So that's a heavy responsibility, and I want to acknowledge that you have a big job in front of you. Not that we need a lot of work, but yes, we do need a lot of work, and we need a lot of equipping so that we can reach the full stature and maturity of Christ. Now, sometimes when we look at the word equipping, we start to think about classes and workshops that give us knowledge about what we need to be equipped in, or at least that's the way that I typically think of it. Can I propose, elders and leaders, that again, similarly to what I talked about earlier, that you can do something more potentially more valuable than a workshop or a class on being equipped in spiritual gifts? Can I propose that you, as you help us identify our spiritual gifts, that you equip us by inviting us into relationship and show us what God has taught you about maturing? Can you equip us by allowing us to do parallel learning, where we learn alongside you? Remember what I said earlier, gifts are meant to be discovered in relationship, and I believe that gifts are also meant to be equipped in relationship. The Scripture is clear that God has given the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, you and I, for the sake of ministry. So for the elders and leaders, I think that one of the questions you need to ask yourself is, what function has God placed on me? Am I an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a shepherd, a teacher? Another question that needs to be asked is, if the team of elders and leaders is missing one of these functions, then who needs to be added to the team so that the church body is being led by a full cohort? Why do we need a full cohort? Why do we need all five of those? Because I think that the full equipping might not be able to happen unless all those functions are present. We need to work together as a body of Christ. We need apostles, we need prophets, we need evangelists, we need shepherds, we need teachers. Take a look at these next two passages of Scripture. They're Romans 1, 11 through 12, and 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 15. I'll just read them for you. "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." 1 Timothy passage says this, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress." So elders and shepherds, one of your roles is to equip the saints by listening to the Spirit and as a display of unity with the body, imparting that spiritual gift to the body, for the purpose of building up the unity of the body and so that God can be displayed externally to a world that does not have relationship with him. And so elders and leaders, please be aware. Be on the lookout for spiritual gifts in the body. Equip us. Because without you, without using our spiritual gifts, the body of Christ is not built up into maturity. Now remember the blessing that I talked about earlier. You are given blessings so that you can be a blessing to others. So the body of Christ needs to be built up so it's more effective in externally displaying God's glory. Can you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8? We're going to talk a little bit about effects of spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So when we use the spiritual gifts that God has given us, we use them first in the body of Christ. We are all members of one body, and we need each other, but more importantly, we need Christ in each other. So when we are using our spiritual gifts, we are using the tools of the kingdom of God to strengthen the body of Christ. So the effect of using spiritual gifts within the body of Christ is that the body of Christ is then strengthened, unified, and built up into maturity. Think about farming and fertilizing. Sometimes the field needs more potassium. Sometimes the crops need more phosphorus, or they need nitrogen. Maybe they need the natural fertilizer. So let God direct us as the body of Christ to know which spiritual gifts are needed at which time. The effect of using spiritual gifts within the body of Christ is also that the world will be affected when the gifts are used. There's a natural overflow from inward to outward. As the spiritual gifts are used in the body, it's being displayed outwardly to the world what God can do. The strength, the support and strengthening that happens when spiritual gifts are used appropriately serves as salt and light to a world that is watching to see if we are who we say we are. If the internal is not working correctly and in unity, mirroring the unity of the Trinity, then the external will not display Christ appropriately. Be in unity with one another. I need to make a quick pivot one more time. I pivoted to elders and teachers. I need to make another quick pivot because there's one other thing that I haven't mentioned yet that is important to this conversation about spiritual gifts and their usage. So we read 1 Corinthians 12 at the beginning of this sermon. Right after 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes 1 Corinthians 13, which is a great passage about love. Do you know what is at the beginning of chapter 13? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, spiritual gift of tongues, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, spiritual gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, spiritual gift of knowledge, and if I have all faith, spiritual gift of faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, spiritual gift of generosity, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So using spiritual gifts without love is useless. Now, do you know what is at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, right after the chapter of love? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So as you use your spiritual gifts, it is extremely important that you pursue and study what it means to love. Love means that you set yourself aside and you act in the character and power of Christ, Christ in us. It means that Jesus is living through you, the incarnational presence of Jesus. It means that God has full access to use his spiritual gifts in and through you to build up the body of Christ and at the same time display the kingdom of God in a fallen world. Have you given him full access? I want to read a passage again that we looked at earlier. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you want to be a good steward, then use your gifts to serve one another. Why? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. God has given you spiritual gifts. Use them wisely. So what? So what, number one? Start with loving by serving. This starts with self-awareness, starts with others' awareness, starts with hearing from God and obeying God, and you just need to start somewhere. One good place to start is by noticing what you are already good at. For some of you, it comes very naturally to walk beside people in life and help out in various ways. For others, it comes very naturally to lead people and for people to naturally follow you. For some of you, you might notice that people consistently come up to you asking for help in deciding something, or they want to run an idea past you. You may have the gift of wisdom. For others, you may ask that you're consistently being asked to teach different classes or to explain things or to preach. Now, there's a distinction that needs to be made here. Sometimes we get gifting and serving mixed up. One excuse might be, I'm not gifted to serve in the nursery. I don't have the spiritual gift of nursery. Or, I'm not gifted to clean a building. Or, I'm not gifted to lead something. Guess what? There are times when there's a need to be met. And what you do then is you go in prayer before God and you ask him, is this a task that you want me to do for this time and place? God, do you want me to serve here even though it is not my gifting? Here's what I'm driving at. Serving is an area where spiritual gifts can be more easily identified and confirmed by the body and by the elders. You got to start somewhere. So what, number two? Ask, then use and develop. I want to encourage you in your times with the Lord to be asking this question. Jesus, can you give me a picture of what it would look like if I used the spiritual gifts you have given me to their maximum potential? Jesus, can you give me a picture of what it would look like if I used the spiritual gifts you have given me to their maximum potential? So there's two things here, one personal and one for our corporate gathering. First one, for a personal application. When I say maximum potential, I do not mean smothering people with your spiritual gift. Think about fertilizer. If you use too much of it, you will burn the plant. So there's the potential that if you are overbearing in the use of a spiritual gift, which, by the way, would not be loving, you risk burning others. We've talked a bit about using your gifts within the body of Christ, and now I want you to think of your neighborhood, not as it currently is, with different houses made of brick and mortar and wood that surrounds a place to live, or not as condominiums crowded together with sidewalks connecting them all and green spaces in between them. Instead, I want you to picture your neighborhood as a giant field that God has asked you to steward. In that field are people that you know. As you look out over your field, you can name the people that you know. There's John, there's Bob, there's Amanda, there's Jane, there's Paul and Julie. These people that you know are either dying because of spiritual malnutrition, or they are growing because you or other Christ followers who are in their lives, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are utilizing your spiritual gifts in such a way that you are helping them to grow and to mature. That's the personal application. For our corporate gathering, corporately, we need to continue to ask Jesus the question, Jesus, what would it look like in our community and neighborhoods around renovation if we all use the spiritual gifts you have given us to their maximum potential? Once we ask that question, we might need someone who has the gift of prophecy and someone who has the gift of wisdom, and someone who has the gift of leadership, and someone who has the gift of hospitality, and someone who has the gift of teaching, and so on, and so on, and so on, so that we have a good picture of what Jesus wants to do. We can plan a pathway to get there. The body of Christ is taught specifically what needs to be done. We're able to host people well who come along the way. and so that God's name and reputation is glorified. God has given you spiritual gifts. Use them wisely. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal what spiritual gifts that we have and how we can use them to our maximum potential and when and where to use them. God, you have given us gifts, and so we are grateful for them. Help us to understand what gifts we have so that we can glorify you, so that the body of Christ can be built up, and so that the world can see your glory as well. Again, Holy Spirit, I just ask that whatever words have been said this morning, you would reveal the truth. You would open our ears, impact our hearts, impact our souls. And I ask this in your name. Amen.